Father, thank you that you truly are our rock and our redeemer. You are our living God, the one who gave us the living word. And Father, as we were just reading, your word is trustworthy and right and pure and lasting and true. It gives us life, it makes us wise, it gives us insight for living. Father, in your word we can find you, in your word we can find life, in your word we can be formed by you. And so this morning as we talk about reading your word, I pray, God, that you will be present, you will speak to us, and you will encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, before I get started this morning, I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone that came out to sports camp, was praying for sports camp, to Christina and Megan and Shyla and their team. A big thank you for a great camp. I was there Friday night for the barbecue, and there were smiles on the kids' faces. It was a tremendous week, so thank you to everybody who volunteered and had a part in sports camp. Also, today we're starting a brand new series. It's called CrossFit, and the big idea is real simple. It's this. Each week, we want to give you a tool that you can apply to your life if you want that will help you take your spiritual walk to a new depth, to a deeper level, help you take your next steps on your spiritual journey with Jesus as you humbly walk with Him. And so every week, we want to give you a tool. We want to give you some tools over the summer that will equip you to go deeper spiritually. Here's something I firmly believe. God wants to speak to you. I firmly believe that God wants to speak to each one of us. And one of the key ways He speaks today is through His Word. But therein lies a problem. Many churchgoers find personal Bible reading tedious and boring. And if you grew up in the church, it's kind of ingrained into you. You got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. So it becomes a duty. It becomes a task. And so you get your Bible at some point during the day. You read a bunch. And then it's like you're checking off a check mark on your to-do list. And then you go on with your day. Many people, I talked to a couple of people this last week who were saying that's exactly how they look at Bible reading. They just say it's become a chore. It's become a task. But what if this really is God's Word? What if Hebrews 4:12 is true, where it says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." What if the Word of God is alive and powerful? What if the Bible is a living text? What if Scripture is not just a place you go to read about God, but rather, what if it's living and active and you go to Scripture to meet God? What if the living God really wants to speak to us through His living Word? Imagine sitting with your Bible and knowing that as you read your Bible, the living God is going to speak into your life. I would suggest that would change how most of us read the Bible. We'd come with expectation rather than seeing it as a task. Well, today I simply want to teach you a new way to read the Bible. It's a way that I read the Bible, and you may or may not find it helpful, but I want to give you a way to read the Bible where the living God will speak to you through the living text. But before I do that, I want to ask you a question. When you read the Bible, how do you read it? Do you read the Bible as a newspaper, as a textbook, or do you read it like a love letter? Think about how you read a newspaper for a minute. I don't know about you, but I read the newspaper to get information about what is going on. I'm very selective about what articles I read. I usually read the first two or three paragraphs, and I've got the basic idea what the story's about, and then I move on to the next story. I read a newspaper for information. Now think about how when you were a student, or if you're still a student, how you read or read a textbook. When you were in school, you probably read as little of the textbook as possible to get the best mark possible, right? Particularly if you didn't like the subject matter. And every student is really good at cramming information into their brain, right? You cram for an exam. You read as much and get as much knowledge into your head as possible, and then you regurgitate it on test day, get it all out on the page, and be done. You'd cram as much knowledge into your head, and then you do a mind dump on test day, and then you're finished with it. You read a textbook to get knowledge. Whether you keep that knowledge or not is another question. Now, once upon a time, a long, long time ago, we used to write letters to one another. People would write on a piece of paper, and they'd fold it up, and they'd actually mail it. How many people here actually got a love letter in the mail? Okay, a few of you, mostly people that are older, but we used to get these things in the mail, and they were love letters, and if you ever got a love letter, you know that you would anticipate the day when you would get it, and you'd be looking in the mailbox, and then when the letter came, you would open it up, and you would savor each word, and you would ponder the meaning of what the person was saying to you. I remember way back, I was actually living with Dan Beaumont and another guy way back, and I was going out with a girl, and after we started going out, she went to Brazil for a year. That probably wasn't a good sign, right? But anyway, she said she was going to write me, and every day I'd go to the mailbox, and I'd look, and finally the letter was there, and I opened it up, and I read it, and I savored it. I probably read that letter 50 times, and then she came back, and we went on a couple of dates, and then we broke up, but still, the letter in the moment was meaningful. And I would suggest today, most people read the Bible for information or knowledge and not like a love letter, something they savor and ponder. Now, don't get me wrong. Studying the Bible is important. I spend a lot of time studying the Bible, but that's not enough. What if God gave us the Bible not primarily to inform us? What if the primary purpose of the Bible is not information, but formation and transformation? What if God gave us the Bible so that we might know Him and be formed by Him? What if God desires to speak to us right where we are, in the midst of our circumstances, through His living Word? What if instead of reading the Bible like a newspaper or a textbook, we read it like a love letter? Again, I want to teach you today a new way to read the Bible. Actually, it's not a new way at all. It's a very ancient way. It's called Lectio Divina, and I'm teaching today. I'm not really preaching. This is more going to be like teaching you. But it's called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina means divine reading. And it's a way of reading the Bible for formation rather than for information. It's a way of reading the Bible that sets us up to encounter the living God in His living Word. It's a way of reading that allows God to speak uniquely to each one of us. It's a way of reading the Bible that involves the reader, the inspired text, and the Holy Spirit. We bring ourselves to the text, and as we read, the reading process is shaped or guided by the Spirit, and then we allow the Scripture to soak in and form our souls. And this approach to the Bible and this approach to Bible reading goes back to the early centuries of the church. The Christian form of Lectio Divina was first introduced by St. Gregory of Nyssa in 4th century AD. It was established as a monastic practice by St. Benedict in the 6th century. In the 12th century, the Ladder of Monks was written, and it used the image of Jacob's ladder to put Lectio Divina into stages. Today, Lectio Divina consists of four stages. Read, ponder, pray, rest. Read, ponder, pray, rest. And so I'm going to take you through those four stages. But before I take you through those stages, the first thing we need to do, if we're going to do Lectio Divina well, is we need to prepare. And the first thing we need to do in preparation is collect the items you'll need. And the first thing you're going to need, if you're going to read the Bible, is a Bible. You're going to need a Bible to read a Bible. I suggest you read the New International Version or the New Living Translation. They are great versions to read. I personally read the New Revised Standard Version devotionally because I like it, but I really recommend that you read the New International Version or the New Living Translation. They're the easiest ones to read. They're accurate. Don't use your phone. Okay, do not use the Bible app on your phone for this. Your phone is a distraction. And I got a newsflash. You can surgically detach yourself from your phone. You can put it in another room of the house, which is what you need to do. You don't want your phone beeping. You don't want to be using your Bible app on your phone because then you get all these messages. And that's not what you want to be doing this. I really suggest you get a hard copy of the Bible for this. Second thing you need is a pen. Because you're going to want to make notes in your Bible. And let me just give you permission to do that. Some people really feel like I shouldn't note up my Bible. Go ahead, note up your Bible. It's your Bible, note it up. You also maybe want to make notes in a journal. So get a pen. Third thing you need is a piece of paper. Just a scrap piece of paper, there's a reason. As you get into this, you're going to be thinking in the middle of this, hey, I got to buy milk today. Or I got to walk the dog or whatever. And you can just write those things down, the scrap piece of paper, and then they're down there. You don't got to worry about them, and you can stay focused. Fourth thing I'd suggest you get is a journal. And the reason you want to get a journal is so you can write down what you sense God saying to you. And you may be saying, do I really need to write down what God is saying to me? That's a great question. A few years ago, I had the privilege of meeting with a guy named Gordon MacDonald. Gordon MacDonald is a seasoned pastor. He's written some books, and myself and just a few other people got to spend a day with him. And when I knew I was going to go meet Gordon MacDonald, I grabbed a notebook and I took it with me because I wanted to write his wisdom down, and then I wanted to have it so I could look at it later. And that got me to thinking, as God speaks to me through his word, it's pretty important that I write that down. So I can go back and see what God has said to me in the past. Now, I don't journal a ton. I don't write. I just put summary stuff of what God's saying to me. But I write it down so I have it there in a journal so I can go back and look at it. So I really suggest you get a journal and you write at least a few thoughts down. And so you get these items. Here's the next thing you have to do when it comes to preparation. You need to choose a time and a place. You need to find a time and a place that's going to work for you, that's going to be uninterrupted, where you can be relaxed and comfortable. You may need to try multiple times and places to make this work. For me, it's my study at home in my lazy boy chair in my study, and it's usually the morning, though not always, but it's usually the morning, and it's not first thing in the morning like when I first get out of bed, because I need coffee before I do anything. And then I'll even often read the newspaper before I'll go do this because I need to get my brain going. Because I'm kind of like, I get up early, but I'm kind of foggy. So I've got to do that. So find what works for you, but choose a time and a place. And then you're going to choose a passage that you're going to read from the Bible. And I don't suggest you go, hey, today I'm going to read in 2 Chronicles, tomorrow I'll read in Job. I suggest you do one of two things. Number one, get a Bible reading plan that'll systematically take you through the Bible, or choose a book of the Bible and read through it. I started going through the book of Acts very recently, and in Lectio Divina, you only read like 10, 12 verses a day. So it's going to take me a while to get through the book of Acts. I'm not concerned about it. I'm concerned about meeting God in the Scriptures. So choose a passage. Either choose a book of the Bible and read through that, or get a Bible reading plan and go that way. Then you're ready. But the first step in Lectio Divina is not to jump into those four stages. The first step now is to prepare yourself, because you're about to hear from God. So what you want to do is you want to go to your place and you want to sit quietly and relax and let go of the anxieties and the stress of the day and become quiet in God's presence. And once you feel somewhat calm, you pray a brief prayer, inviting the Holy Spirit to come and guide you in your reading. You see, you need to remember, you're not preparing to read about God. You are preparing to have an encounter with God. So ask the Holy Spirit, who inspired the text and abides in you, to make the text you're about to read a living communication to you from God. Maybe you want to pray what Samuel prayed in 1 Samuel 3:9 when he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Here's what I do. I sit down in my lazy boy, and I just sit there. I get comfortable, and I put my hands on the arms of the lazy boy, palms up. And I just surrender to God, and I just breathe. And I take about 5 minutes just to relax. And my head's got a lot of noise in it because my brain's always going. And I just let my brain relax, and I just surrender the time to God. And when I feel relaxed, I just say, "God, I'm in your presence. I'm going to read your word. I want your spirit to guide me and speak to me today." And I just pray to God for a few minutes. The goal of preparation is to get ready to let the Spirit and the Scripture do their work. And so you need a period of time. How long it is for you, I don't know. Usually it's about 5 minutes for me, when I can just sit there and rest and breathe and just be in God's presence. And then I'm ready to engage in the process. And step one of Lectio Divina is reading. Reading. And the purpose of reading in step one is to let God speak to you through His Word. And so what you're going to do is you're going to read the passage you've chosen twice. Now, I suggest that you read the passage out loud if it's appropriate. Obviously, if you're in the lounge at an airport, not a good place to read the passage out loud, right? But if you're like me in my study, in my lazy boy, I can read the passage out loud. I suggest reading the passage out loud because you not only see it then, you also hear it. And I think when we read out loud, we better understand the text. And so you read the passage through the first time, and the first reading is to get a basic grasp of the passage. What's going on here? What is this passage about? So you read it through once, slowly and out loud, to get a basic grasp of the passage. Then you read it through a second time, and this time, again, you read it slowly and out loud, but during the second reading, you're noticing any words, phrases, verses, or details of the story that stand out to you. In other words, jump off the page at you. You listen for a word or a phrase that strikes you or catches your attention. You don't choose this yourself. You let the Spirit bring it to you. Now, many of you have experienced this kind of thing, but you didn't know it was lectio. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, "You know, I was reading this morning and this verse was just for me," or the verse jumped off the page at me, or "I was reading this passage I've read tons of times before, but I never noticed this verse"? That's the Holy Spirit speaking a text into a life. And so what you do is you read it through twice, the first time to get familiar. The second time you're noticing what word, phrase, verse jumps off the page at you. And then you just sit with the word or the phrase for a few minutes and you reflect on it. And you reflect in a certain way. You think about, what did this word or phrase mean to the original audience? What would have liked to have been in that original audience? You may even want to use your imagination. Your imagination is a God-given gift. Ask the Holy Spirit to put you in the scene and picture yourself in the scene as part of that audience. What was it like to be in the crowd? What was it like to be there? What would it have been like to originally have been in that situation? If the passage is not a scene, but rather like a promise or a counsel or exhortation, then soak in its meaning and its message. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I'll give you an example from a few days ago in my life. So I started, as I mentioned, in the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 1, I was reading from verse 12 to verse 20 this day. And I'm not going to read all of it for time's sake, but I am going to read verse 12 to 14. So I'd already read it through, so I knew kind of like what, I was familiar with the passage, I was familiar with what was going on. And then I read it through a second time, and the passage goes like this. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. And then I read the rest of the passage that I was reading. But the phrase that jumped off the page at me during the second reading was constantly devoting themselves to prayer. That just jumped off the page at me. And so I sat with that phrase for a few minutes. I thought, what would it have been like to be an apostle, a woman, one of these people who had just seen Jesus ascend into heaven, and now they're constantly devoting themselves to prayer? What would that have been like for them? I'm thinking about the original scene. What would it have been like to be Peter in that moment? And I'm pondering, what did this mean to the original audience? What would it have been like to be an apostle there? And then I thought, what would it have been like to be James? You know, if I was James, what would it have been like for me to be constantly devoting myself to prayer? In this first stage, you are doing two things. You're reading the passage to get familiar. Then you're reading the passage to see what pops off the page at you. And then you sit with it. And you think, what did that mean to the original audience? What would it have been like to be in the original audience? And you ponder that for a few minutes. So that's the first stage. Then we come to the second stage, which is ponder. It is ponder. And here there's a change, though. You read the passage again. You read the passage a lot in Lectio Divina. You read it actually four times. So this is the you read it, or actually one, two, three, yeah, four times. So you read it again, but here's where it's different this time. You read the passage slowly again, reflecting on and pondering the way your life is touched by the word, the phrase, or the verse. In the first stage, you're thinking about the original audience. What would it have been like to be there originally? What would it have meant for them to be constantly praying? Now you're reflecting in the second stage on your life, not their life, your life. And you're pondering the way your life is touched by this word, this phrase, or this verse. A way to do that is to ask yourself some questions like this. How does the word, phrase, or verse connect with my life today? What aspects of my life are being touched or spoken to? What is it in my life that needs to hear this word today? How does the word connect with what is happening at home, at work, in my family? Why might have the Holy Spirit have chosen these words to speak into my life today? In other words, what is God saying to me? If the passage is a story, some people like to ask themselves, where am I in the story? Or what do I experience as I allow myself to be in the story? And then you sit in silence again for a few minutes and you reflect. Just like Mary pondered in her heart the details of the incarnation, you ponder in your heart what stood out to you. You linger over it, you reflect on it, you mull it over. Let the Word of God do a work on your soul as you humbly reflect. So again, we'll go back to my reading. I won't read the passage again because of time, but I read the passage again, and then I sat there and said, those words constantly devoting themselves to prayer, they really jumped off the page at me. I started to say, God, what are you saying to me by that? How are you challenging me? Spirit, what are you speaking into my life? And as I was reflecting and pondering and lingering over this, I remember a while back, I'd really felt convicted to constantly be a person of constant prayer. As I go through my day, be constantly praying. And I read some of the works of Frank Laubach, who did this so well, and I was inspired. And I started to get into that discipline of doing that, but then life kind of took hold, and I got busy, and I drifted away. And what I kind of sensed God was saying, well, what I sensed, not kind of, what I sensed God was saying to me is, Steve, I want you to go back and re-engage that discipline of being a person who is in constant prayer. I want you to be like those apostles and those women. I want you to be someone who is constantly praying. And so I started to reflect on that. What would it be like to go back? And what was God saying about me going back and re-engaging that discipline? And I spent time reflecting on that. That's what you do in the second stage. In the second stage, you read the passage aloud, and then you sit and you ponder how your life is touched by the verse, the phrase, or whatever jumped off the page to you. What is God saying to you? And then the third step is this, it's prayer. St. Augustine said this, when you read the Bible, God speaks to you. When you pray, you speak to God. The Word of God requires a response, and that response begins with prayer. And so in this third step, you read the passage for a last time. You read it again out loud and slowly. You allow the passage then to lead you into a response of prayer. You pray. You just let prayer spontaneously flow from your soul, telling God what you think or you feel. Now, some people really enjoy writing out their prayers. I am not that person. But if you do, this would be a time to do it. But again, let me give you the example from my life. So I read the passage one more time, and then I prayed about constantly devoting myself to prayer and committing myself to doing that and asking for God's help and just sharing my soul with God around what He had shown me that day. And then there's one last step to Lectio Divina, it's rest. The last step in Lectio Divina is to take some time just to rest in God's presence. In this stage, you simply follow the instructions of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. And some people are saying, well, don't I have to do something in this stage? No, you just have to sit and be still. During this stage, you are simply to be present with the God of the text. The Holy Spirit is present, the text is still present, you're present, so you sit in silence for a few moments. How long? Totally up to you. You sit in silence for a few moments. Now, what I do after this is I go into a time of extended prayer, and maybe one day I'll share this with you, but I go into prayer, I use liturgy, I use free-flowing prayer, and I spend some time in prayer, and then I say amen. And you may just do Lectio Divina and then say amen. But here's the deal. When you are done, as you arise from your time with God and His Word, and as you go into the day, take the phrase, the verse, the word into your day with you and allow it to impact how you live. Go through your day and reflect on that word. Pray that word as you go through the day. See how that word applies to your life on that day. For me, you know, the idea of constantly being in prayer. So what does that mean as I drive in the Colwood Crawl all the time? It means I can be praying and be a person of prayer instead of complaint when I'm in the Colwood Crawl. And so you take the word and you apply it to your life in some way. Let me simply conclude by saying this. This is a tool, a discipline, Lectio Divina is, and it takes some time to get used to. Anybody here tried fly fishing? Anybody? One person. Obviously not a sport that has a lot of followers in this church. I asked the first group, and they're all looking at me like, what? They didn't have anybody either. So I fly fish. Anybody here, this is a better question. Anybody ever seen anybody fly fish? Okay, good. That's good. That's helpful. If you see someone fly fishing like this, and they got a cast like that, that did not come easy. Okay, fly fishing takes a long time to get used to. You pick up your rod, your line, you got all this line, and you're trying to cast it, and it's awkward, and you're trying to figure it out, and it's frustrating. And, you know, when I was learning, I put the hook in the back of my kid's head. He didn't mind, my wife not happy. But then suddenly, it happens, and you get the flow going. And it flows, and it's a beautiful thing. Lectio Divina is like that. When you first try this, it can seem awkward. even frustrating, mechanical. But you keep up with it, and then you get in the flow, and something beautiful happens. The living God speaks to you through the living text. So let me close with some suggestions very quickly on how you can get started. First, get a hard copy of the Bible, New International Version, New Living Translation. Second, choose a time and place, and then don't commit to doing it every day the first week, like I'm going to do this 7 days and pound through. Say, I'm going to enter into this slowly, do a couple of days the first week, maybe 3 days the next week, just slowly enter into this discipline. Choose a passage you're going to read, pick a book, pick one of the Gospels, or get a Bible reading plan. And then if you got this bulletin sleeve, on the back of the bulletin sleeve is all the steps I talked about. So you're going to go home and say, what was he saying? They're right here. These steps will guide you through Lectio Divina. And then I'd encourage you, be patient. It will happen. The beauty will come. And you will watch with amazement as the living God speaks to you through the living Word and transforms and forms your life. And I'm hoping if you try this, that this tool will transform your Bible reading from something that's a task, that's something that you can't wait to do, because as you open Scripture day after day, you meet the living God in His living Word. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this amazing ancient tool of Lectio Divina. I pray that some will try this, and as they try it, they will find that they will meet the living God in the living text, and they will be formed and transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.